Good morning. For a while now, I have been playing with the Lord's Prayer, not anything weird. I've just been fascinated with how it speaks into our lives and how much it speaks into our lives and how many pieces of our lives that it actually impacts. In daily life, if we had that in our mind, we would find that there's help for how we do that. As we've been talking about this occasionally over the past few years, we have recognized that it could be a prayer. It's actually a prayer that could be repeatedly used. And Jesus approved that. He said, here's a prayer. It could also be an outline for prayer, for personalizing, and because it covers everything. There's probably nothing in life that doesn't fit under one of the pieces of the Lord's Prayer. And it could be a formula for how to do daily life. If we adopted the statements that are in that and we applied them to our lives, it would be a good way to live our lives. And it's also a pattern for living missionally, this kingdom living we've been talking about. It embraces the Great Commission. It embraces the Great Commandment. I'm trying to think of anything in our lives that it wouldn't necessarily cover. And so let's begin this morning praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, you can join me. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, what I'd like to do is pull the Lord's Prayer apart into five pieces, and I'm going to use that as the foundation for five groups of people to come forward and partake at the altar this morning, and we'll see a little bit more about our praying, we'll see a little bit more about our relationship with Jesus, and we'll commune at the table. Now, I want to remind you before we begin that ours is an open table. That is, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know him as your Savior, the table is open to you. We would just caution you, as the Apostle Paul cautioned the church at Corinth, that be sure to confess your sins, that you come appropriately prepared, and there'll be plenty of time this morning to do that. This is not something that we take lightly. It's not a church snack. It's actually an act of worship, where we come before the Lord and we are reminded of what he's done for us, and we in some ways renew our relationship with him as we start with a fresh slate at the altar. The ushers will be guiding you this morning to come forward. They'll be releasing you. I think it's probably Josh back there. He's shaking his head. It'll be Josh. We're probably going to gather about, I don't know, 15 to 20 at a time. We'll be up here. There'll be five groups of people that'll be coming up, and we're in no hurry, and if he comes to your row and he goes to dismiss you and you're not ready yet, come at a later table. There's no problem with that. This is about you being ready to worship at the altar. Now, as you do come to the altar, I want to remind you that the bread symbolizes Jesus' body. It was his body in place of our body. It was his life given for our sins. He's a substitute, a pleasing substitute. And the cup symbolizes his blood, blood that he freely gave. No one took it from him. He offered it. And he did so to seal a covenant and to pay the penalty for the sins that we've committed. And so he died in our place. Now, with each table coming forward, let me explain how this is going to work. You'll come up. You'll stand there. I'm going to preach for a moment or two. And then I'm going to invite you to kneel. And then I will guide you through the elements, and a little bit later, Andrew will be joining me, and after he works the room, then he will come and join me up here, and we'll do that. Also, on the altar this morning is a prayer card. It's the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of annotated. I've fleshed it out a little bit more, and I'm just offering that as something for you to take. I would have put it in the bulletin this morning, but I didn't want you to be reading that instead of paying attention to the sermon, so you can take it as you leave from the table. So I'm going to pray for us, and Josh is going to get ready to set the table for us for the first round. Let's pray together. Father, this morning as we gather in this room, we recognize that it's just the room. There's instruments, there's people, there's chairs, there's pews, there's some fancy windows, but it's just a room. But it becomes a holy place when we become aware that you're here and we connect with you at the level of our hearts. And so, Father, I pray that you would meet with each person in this room this morning, that you would take us on a spiritual adventure into our hearts. Help us find those pieces of garbage that need to be confessed, and help us realize the joy of release from carrying that. I pray that as we listen to words about this prayer, that we might find pieces that apply to our lives. But I pray especially as we kneel at the altar, as we partake of the bread and of the cup, as we remember this amazing thing that you did that we couldn't do. Change us, and then send us, somehow empowered in new ways, to be your light, your voice, your hands and feet in the community around us. We pray to those ends in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. The interesting thing about standing is you're hearing the word. I've been reading in Ezra and Nehemiah for the last couple of weeks, and whenever they had the word proclaimed for them, they stood. They might have been sitting in the dust, but when the word, they stood. So you get to stand this morning for the word, and then we'll kneel as we worship at the altar. The Lord's Prayer begins, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, the prayer begins with this amazing statement of identification. We are related to the Father. He is our Father. And we are related to each other. We are brothers and sisters in this family that Jesus is creating as he's pulling people out of the world, calling them unto himself. And so there's this oneness that we share that we might never share any other place or any other kind of relationship than here as members of the body of Christ. And as you partake of the elements, think about the oneness that you see in the elements. It was one body that was broken for us that we, many bodies, could again become part of his one body. And then as we partake of the cup, now I know you have little samples of a much larger cup, but we are baptized into, we are united into this one body. Now, these opening words of this prayer also capture the majesty and holiness of God, and they almost demand worship as we respond to the majesty of God. Our Father transcends space and time. We can't measure him. We can't weigh him. He is not limited. And yet, he's a Father. He's caring. He's loving. He meets us in our most tenderest moments, in our brokenness. And this prayer, as we offer the words, our words become worship as we praise the Lord, the highly exalted one, the one whose name is holy. I invite you, if you can, to kneel at the altar. And this morning, as you partake of the bread, go ahead and take a piece. Be reminded that this one, this Holy One, has come among us, and he has done so to rescue us. He has offered his body in our place. And so take and eat in remembrance of his sacrifice. Jesus, when he met with his disciples on the eve when he created this service, this ceremony, the sacrament, he also took the cup from the table. Go ahead, take a cup. As you drink of the cup, be reminded that this one, this Jesus, offered his blood, life for life. His blood, not ours. And so take and drink, you who are the beloved of Christ. I invite you, if you're inclined to do so, to go ahead and take one of those prayer cards. It's a gentle guide. It's not a law. It's just some ideas I had on how to flesh out the statements. And perhaps you might find it useful as you pray. I invite you to rise and go with Jesus. Go with an awareness that Jesus is with you every moment of every day. He didn't want to move. As the prayer continues, the words are, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, these words, as they're leaving our mouth, they become for us a request that God might reign here and now in our hearts and in our lives. We cry out in agreement that his kingdom is a good thing and that it should find a dwelling place in our lives and among us and in the world around us. And further, we're agreeing that his will is our will, that what he desires is what we desire. And sometimes here, and we've sung it here, we sing the words, "You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great. Your love was greater. What could separate us?" Now, I would have sung that for you, except you'd have all left. But we sing that here. And those words, that's exactly what we're celebrating here at the altar as we partake of the elements. Jesus, come among us, bringing life and healing and wholeness. And if you're able, I invite you to kneel at this time. As you partake of the bread, go ahead and take a piece. Be reminded that this one, this Jesus, he came among us and he did so to rescue us. His body in our place. So take and eat, an act of worship. And as you drink of the cup, be reminded, go ahead, take a cup. Be reminded that this same Jesus gave his life. He offered his blood. He willingly sealed a promise, a covenant. Again, his blood, not ours. His life, not ours, so that our life could be his life. So take and drink in remembrance of his great love. Again, prayer cards. Help yourself to one if you're so inclined. And I invite you to rise and go in peace, knowing that Jesus is everywhere you're going to go, and he wants to do life with you. Give us this day our daily bread is such a simple statement. Bread meant life. More so in their environment because it was the staple of life. We have so many things we have access to. But they would have understood that it was food, it was representative of everything they needed to do daily life. And that word daily there, it's a unique word. This is the only place it appears in the Bible, and Jesus put it in this prayer. It could mean for the day. It could mean for the coming day. It could mean what I need right now. It captures life in the moment. And isn't that how Jesus has offered life, to be lived in the moment? We can't do yesterday. We can't do tomorrow. We're invited to live in the moment. And even this phrase out of this prayer plays with that idea. And I suppose it's not too far off the mark to think that when Jesus offered this line in this prayer, that he was having us pray for everything that we need in life, knowing that God will provide our needs. And I know God blesses way beyond that, and many of our wants are met. And I wonder if this emphasis on need is the cure for the common worry. This prayer acknowledges that God is not just our Savior, but he is our provider, he is our sustainer, he keeps us alive. And he answers this prayer, well, in the food we have, in the homes we have, but we can go underneath that and it includes things like a skill set that we were able to learn so that we could have a job to get a paycheck to provide all those things. And sometimes we think, well, I did that, but he provided the ability to do that. He is our source. I invite you, if you're able, to kneel. As you partake of the bread this morning, I want to remind you that Jesus is represented by this piece of bread. It's his body. His body was on the cross. His body was the one that wore our sin. His body actually became sin. And I don't understand that. I know the theology, I can repeat that. But that's something that my little peanut brain just can't wrap itself around. But he was in my place. He was in your place. So go ahead and take a piece of the bread. Remember that he did this for you. And so take in remembrance as an act of worship. I invite you also to take a cup. The cup represents his blood. He gave his blood. It wasn't taken from him. And unlike our blood, when we bleed and it stains us, his blood cleanses us. Somehow that was enough for the Father to wash the sins away for those who turn to Jesus for life. Blood sealing a promise, a covenant. And the covenant's a pretty simple covenant. I love you. This much. And he died for us. So take and drink in remembrance of his love for you. Again, if you want, please take one of the prayer cards. And I invite you to rise and go, somehow empowered as you've encountered Christ here at the altar, having been reminded of his love for you. So go. Go in power. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Perhaps the most difficult line of the prayer. And it seems it seems to say that being forgiven hangs on our forgiving others. Seems. The word debt is sin or wrong or harm against another. Forgiveness is to release another who has done that to us. And that's incorporated in this line. Now, regarding that forgiven to be forgiven issue, we can't earn forgiveness. We can't do that. Now, we can do things among each other, confessing and asking and that, but as far as our relationship with God, we can't earn that. It's a gift. And it comes with Christ as we invite Him into our lives. But here's the thing. Our being willing to forgive, our being able to forgive, verifies that we get, that we understand the whole idea of forgiveness. Because what we've experienced, we're now able to share with others. Now, the truly repentant, I believe, will know forgiveness, and they will freely offer forgiveness to others. And this line is important enough that Jesus, at the end of the prayer, added two more sections, two more verses, talking about forgiveness. So, a hard line, but still part of our lives. Because unless we're alone, we're probably going to hurt somebody's feelings. We're going to mess something up, and we're going to have to deal with this. And the best way is starting with our relationship with Jesus. If you're able, please kneel. Go ahead and take a piece of bread. Be reminded, Jesus. It is all about Jesus. We sang that. It is all about Jesus. He came. He did what we couldn't do. He offered His body, a vehicle to carry away our sins through death. So as you take and eat, do so in remembrance of the sacrifice He made for you. You can see there's yeah, just plug into any of those empty spots. The fifth piece of the prayer, and lead us not into temptation, temptation being testing, but deliver us from evil. These are interesting words. They're interesting words coming from the mouth of Jesus, who was tested for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, who labored under the weight of our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane as he decided his will, not another way. He was assaulted by Satan. He wore our sins. And this is the one teaching us about temptation, about testing. God doesn't tempt us. We know that. We read that in Scripture. He never tempts us, but he might test us. And sometimes we need to be tested. It proves our character. It grows our character. It strengthens our resolve. I will do this. Sometimes it prepares us for what is next. Testing might not be our first choice. And actually, as we look at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was like, if there is some other way, but your will. The evil one, evil, is greater than you and I think. And I think we take that too lightly. Jesus did not. But we should pay attention, because he wants to take us down. He wants to take us out of the game. And Jesus has us praying. I invite you to kneel if you can. The closing doxology of the Lord's Prayer, which is a hymn of praise, was added. It was added later. But it speaks for itself, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is our desire as Christ followers, that he be glorified, that he be glorified in this world, that he be glorified right here, right now, that he be glorified in our daily lives and forever. Well, whether it's a simple prayer or a model for prayer, or actually something that we might flesh out as we have done here this morning, I think we do well to ponder these words, to maybe make them part of our daily lives, whether it's part of our prayer time or around our devotions or something we have where we can see it regularly, but to think about the words that Jesus gave us saying, pray this way. Now, I do need you to make note, though, of this prayer and where it's located in Scripture. It's in a chapter that's about living out or performing the good deeds that he has for us. And it's the middle of three. In the first four verses, he talks about our giving, and he talks about our praying, and in the section, he talks about our fasting. And we are to do those things, but we're to never do them so that people would go, oh, look, he's praying. Oh, look, she's fasting. We are to do them so that he will be glorified through that. And one more time, I invite you, and let's rise together and pray the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.